Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday. Not just any Friday. It is opening day for your Green Bay Packers. Packers Eagles, Friday Night Football. We freaking made it. It's felt like forever. We had a really fun game on Thursday night, but now we get to enjoy our very first Packers game of the season. And like I say, every single year, enjoy these. There's only 17 of them guaranteed. While we have a lot of expectations above and beyond that, there's only 17 guaranteed. So this is 1/17th for sure. And I am going to enjoy every single second of it. Welcome in, everybody. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. It is so great to be here today. It is one of those very special days on the calendar, the opening Packers game, no matter if it's on the road or at home or whatever the situation or circumstance is, there's just a little something extra on that very first Packers game of the season. And that is what we are certainly celebrating and looking forward to today. We've got a ton to get into. We're going to go over the injury report, sort of expectations for the potential inactive list. We'll go over some of the keys to the game, players to watch, all of it. And then I'll give my final prediction towards the end as well. First of all, shout out to our brand new Packaday Podcast All-Pro YouTube member, B Brown. Thank you so much for signing up and becoming a brand new All-Pro member. Appreciate that a ton. Also, quick shout out to Autograph. It is so fun partnering with different companies and different people that are really awesome at what they do. And I talk about Luigi's all the time and how it is amazing to partner with Luigi's because I literally enjoy the heck out of their pizza. With Autograph, it's the same thing. I use this app every single day. It is so fun to use. It is my one-stop shop for everything Green Bay Packers. Conveniently, the Pack-A-Day podcast is out there every single day, but you can find all of your other favorite Packers podcasts. Just make sure the Pack-A-Day one goes first on that list. But you can also find your favorite Packers writers and articles that are out there. You can interact with other Packers fans, get Packers tickets. It's all there in one spot. And they just went live. Beta testing is done. So now is the time to go out and get yourself the Autograph app. You will not be disappointed. It is worth it. And you can use the code Pack-A-Day to get signed up. Make sure to do that as well. But super fun app, and make sure to check it out if you have not already. Before we get to Packers and Eagles, let's quickly talk about Ravens Chiefs. We had our first game of the season. It was very NFL-esque in all of the right and wrong ways. I tweeted out, find something you love as much as the NFL loves emphasizing a new rule to death to begin every season. And I don't know if this was just a one-off or if we're going to have to worry about Rashid Walker and Zach Tom on illegal procedure penalties all throughout the game on Friday Night Football, because that's why people are piling into Brazil and that stadium. And the first time ever playing in Brazil is to see the referees just do this thing the whole entire game. But I understand that they're trying to get that maybe unfair advantage for offensive tackles outside of the game. But my goodness, we've got to find a way to make this a little bit easier to digest while you're going through this process, because that was a little bit painful at times to see so many penalties on illegal procedures. And to the NFL's credit, I guess they were calling it, and the Ravens are the ones that needed to adjust, and they clearly did not do that through the course of the game. But hopefully this is not one of those things where we have to constantly be talking about, oh my goodness, this is like the 400th illegal procedure penalty I've seen over the course of week one. And then by week four, they completely forget about it or whatever. But either way, that's something at least I'm going to be keeping an eye on Packers Eagles. Is that a thing now that we have to worry about? Kick return rules from Ravens Chiefs. Basically what we talked about, right? Justice and I talked about it very early on when these new rules got sort of implemented, and he's wrote about it quite a bit. The change that they made to the touchback only coming out to the 30 instead of the 35, to me, is the complete game changer here. Now, we saw a couple returns. The only one that did not make it out to the 30 made it past the 30, but there was a holding penalty. And otherwise, they would have all made it past the 30. And then the vast majority of the ones, because of that, I think, and because the expectation is that most teams probably will get it past the 30, is just to get it, either out of the end zone or in the back of the end zone enough so that the team just kneels it down and you get the ball at the 30-yard line. And if the goal and incentive was to make it so that you would have more returns, I don't think this is going to be the solution. And the NFL might need to change it so that the touchback goes to the 35 rather than the 30 if they do truly want to incentivize kick returns, because this clearly, at least from one game in, is not going to be the solution if that is their goal. And then last but not least here, Xavier Worthy, probably not a great idea to gift Kansas City Xavier Worthy. I know that one of the plays was a busted coverage. The other one was a run, but still you can tell the juice that he is going to bring to that offense. That was a impressive, opening performance. He didn't have much outside of those two plays, but those are two pretty important plays within the scheme of that game. And you can just tell again, they needed somebody again with that sort of speed that could just take the top off of it and could also be a threat with the ball in his hands. And they clearly have that in Xavier Worthy. That's probably not an ideal situation for the rest of the NFL. Really fun game. Sloppy, had the penalties, but you come down to the wire. It looks like it's going to come down to a 2-point conversion one way or the other. And then, of course, by toenail, basically, you are out of bounds and it's no touchdown. And that is just the beautiful drama that is the NFL. Week in and week out, you get these moments. And we always have the cliche saying, if it's a game of inches, well, sometimes it is very much a game of inches. And that was clearly the case on that particular play. And it all came down to that. I would have loved to have seen the 2-point conversion, game in the balance, game on the line, but it certainly did not stop the entire drama from that game with likely being, just barely out of bounds and ending the game on that final play still. So a very, very entertaining game. And my biggest takeaway from it, I think I love football even more. I didn't think that was possible, but after so much time away, I think I'm even more ingrained and more excited about this season. So bring it on, and let's get right now into everyone's topic that we want to go over, Packers, Eagles. Let's start with the injury report that we got on Thursday. I'm still trying to go through my day since a Friday game, which is still weird, but our injury report from Thursday, Edgerrin Cooper, Romeo Doubs, Carrington Valentine, all practiced in full, are not given any designation on the injury report. All three of those are going to be good to go. So Cooper, Doubs, Valentine, all good to go. Then you had the two running backs, Emmanuel Wilson and Marshawn Lloyd, both listed as limited, both listed as questionable. Wilson with a hip, Lloyd, of course, with a hamstring. And then finally, Tucker Kraft, limited in practice, and then questionable with his back injury. Tough to say here what is exactly going to happen. Clearly, Cooper, Doubs, and Valentine, like we said, good to go. My guess, not reporting it, just a prediction. I think we will see Emmanuel Wilson be the number two running back in this game. I think Josh Jacobs will be the one. I think Wilson will be the two. He did practice all week, even if it was limited on a couple different occasions. Usually, if you're not going to play, you have at least one day during the week where you don't practice. The fact that Wilson went in some capacity all week would lend me to believe he probably plays in this one without knowing the severity of the injury or anything else. That's just my hunch. And I think he will end up as the number two running back. And then the question will be, do you want to go with Lloyd as the three, or do you want to make sure that there's another completely healthy running back as the number three in this game? Maybe keep it or take it easy a little bit with Marshawn Lloyd. Let him sit this one out, have another week before he plays maybe against the Colts next week, and then activate Ellis Merriweather, who your hope would be never has to touch the ball on offense. But if you do end up with a situation where Emmanuel Wilson's injury flares up or Josh Jacobs were to go down, you at least have somebody in Ellis Merriweather who comes into this game completely healthy. He's been on the roster since middle of last year. And so he knows this offense. He knows the system. He knows what he's supposed to do. He's completely healthy. That would be my guess, is that Emmanuel Wilson, probably good to go. They probably take it easy with Marshawn Lloyd, and then Merriweather gets activated. We'll talk about more on that in just a moment. And then Tucker Kraft. The one thing that you never can be too sure about is back injuries. Those things have a tendency to linger sometimes and just flare up at all the wrong moments. So that could end up being maybe more of a game time decision. I am still guessing that Tucker Kraft plays in this one. Again, did not miss any practices this week, was just limited. hopefully it's more precautionary. And my guess is he's probably going to play in this one. And to some extent, maybe we would see a little bit less two tight end sets and maybe a little bit more some Musgrave and maybe a little bit more Ben Sims in this one and maybe take it a little bit more easy with Kraft. But my guess is he gives it a go and tries to get in there as much as he possibly can without having it be anything where you're risking further injury to that back. So that's the Packers injury report. Eagles is a little bit more cut and dry. They only have two players on it, Devin White, Isaiah Rodgers, and they're both out. Of course, Devin White, their big free agent signing at linebacker, and then Isaiah Rodgers, their corner, who probably was going to play a decent amount in this game, but now he will not. And it's going to be up to really Philadelphia on how they want to fill that. If it's Eli Ricks or Kelee Ringo, they have Cooper DeJean that they could go with, Tristan McCollum at safety. There's a lot of different directions that they could go in. I'm not sure which one they will, to be totally honest. And that's going to be kind of one of those interesting things to keep an eye on with Isaiah Rodgers out of this game. And that kind of brings us to those inactives. We will get those inactives at 5:45 Central Time, an hour and a half before kickoff. And sort of some of the things that I'm looking at, first of all, of course, are injuries. Emmanuel Wilson, Marshawn Lloyd, Tucker Kraft, are any of them inactive with their specific injuries? Again, I think Marshawn Lloyd is probably the most likely out of that group, but if all of a sudden Wilson and Lloyd are both inactive, that certainly changes the calculus of this game. Do you just call up Merriweather? Do you call up Merriweather and another running back? The other two are just very fresh to the team, specifically, I would think they would go with LaMichael Perine in this case, since he's been here at least a few days more, but that would be a very interesting scenario. I don't think that's going to be the case, but that'll be an inactive watch to keep an eye on. And then again, Tucker Kraft, is he able to go? I'm also looking at call-ups. Some players that could make sense, Sean Clifford at quarterback. If they feel like Malik Willis is not ready to be the number two quarterback yet, we could see Sean Clifford activated as the number two QB and then Malik Willis deactivated for this game. Andrew Beck. And I guess in that situation, because Willis would be on the roster, he could theoretically be that emergency number three quarterback in that situation. So that could be one direction that they go with. Andrew Beck, if Tucker Kraft can't go, I would expect Andrew Beck to get called up. I think there's a chance Beck could get called up either way. They don't really have that H-back fullback and sort of blocking sort of H-back on the roster right now. I could see them, especially with Kraft maybe a little bit banged up, and because Beck can play some special teams as well, I could see Beck activated either way. But if Kraft can't go, I would certainly expect Andrew Beck to go in this game. And then, of course, we talked about it, but Ellis Merriweather, do they deactivate one of the running backs and bring Ellis Merriweather up? I think those are some practice squad guys you could see called up for this specific game. We finally made it. It's opening week. Our fantasy drafts are done, our pick'em selections are in, and the last thing we need to do is get our prize pick selections made for this week's incredible slate of action. And to kick off football season, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on prize picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss the deal on prize picks because it's gone when September ends. What I love about Prize Picks is that they always put their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. And when my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. So obviously, yes, I'm going to be playing Caleb Williams to start the season, and I'll also be going with the newest Packers star running back, Josh Jacobs, against the Eagles in Brazil as well. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, Game Time has a brand new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through Game Time right now as we speak, and there are two tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, two tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, Game Time has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game time. As far as inactives go, other positions I'll be keeping an eye on. Wide receiver is either Bo Melton or Malik Heath inactive for this game. One of Andre Dillard, Kadeem Telfort, and Jacob Monk are going to have to be inactive in all likelihood. Travis Glover will be inactive. I'd be shocked if he's not. But then you have to decide who's your other one that you deactivate. Is it Dillard, Telfort, or Monk? We know Aaron Mosby is going to be deactivated. Do they go with Brenton Cox on the active roster, or do they deactivate him? Again, running back we talked about, and then maybe safety, Ketan Oladapo, could be another player. If I had my prediction going into the game, I would predict that Ellis Merriweather gets called up, and then your inactives are Marshawn Lloyd, Aaron Mosby, Travis Glover, Malik Heath. I'm going to say Kadeem Telfort and Brenton. I'll say Ketan Oladapo, actually. So that would mean Brenton Cox is actually active. I think that the big decisions are going to be, A, again, what the health of the running back and the other players. But then if, assuming it's just Lloyd that doesn't go, I think your decisions are going to be, do you probably deactivate Kadeem Telfort or Andre Dillard? And then do you deactivate Brenton Cox or Ketan Oladapo? I think those are probably going to be the interesting decisions in this one. Then I kind of get to, as we get actually into the game, I'm going to be kind of looking at some of the lineup stuff. The first one is, who is the number two running back? If the Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson are both active, is it just, you know, Wilson? Is it just Lloyd? That'll be an interesting dynamic. If it is Ellis Merriweather that's called up, is Wilson good enough to be the number two? Meaning not good enough, but is he healthy enough to be the number two? Or does Merriweather have to take that slot? So I think there's three different people who could be the number two in this game. I think it could be Marshawn Lloyd. I think it could be Emmanuel Wilson. And I think it could be Ellis Merriweather. My expectation is Wilson, but I'm going to be very intrigued by that. I'm going to be very intrigued by the wide receiver rotation. I think we're expecting the top four to get a lot of playing time, meaning Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, and Dontavian Wicks. But is there, whoever is the fifth wide receiver, whether it's Heath or Melton, do they get some playing time? Do they primarily go with three of the four? And does one get left out a little bit more? Or is there a pretty even rotation? That's going to be something I'm going to be keeping an eye on. Right guard. The expectation seems to be Sean Ryan's going to start. He was the starter in warmups at the practice in Brazil. So my guess is that's probably going to be the case. But I still think we could see a little bit of a rotation there between Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan. But I'll be keeping an eye on that right guard position. Does Edgerrin Cooper get any snaps? I think this is a potential game where you've got a QB where you can maybe use an extra athlete at linebacker, maybe spy a little bit, maybe blitz a little bit. Does he get 8 to 10 snaps, or is he just special teams only? Or does he surprise and maybe even get more than that? I think that's going to be interesting. Do we see any Javon Bullard in the slot, or is that just strictly Keyshawn Nixon? And then do you find ways to get Evan Williams snaps? The ways to get Evan Williams snaps is by putting Javon Bullard in the slot in all likelihood. So all of those things are going to be some lineup sort of things for Green Bay that I want to keep an eye on and see how are they managing the snaps for a lot of these different players and some of the more unique stuff or niche stuff like backup running back and things like that. The next thing I'm really going to be watching in this one, and I talked a little bit about this the other day, you have three quarters of the coordinators in this game that are brand new. You have a new defense in Green Bay and a new offense and a new defense in Philly. Week one is chaos as it is. You don't know what's going to happen in week one. You don't know what team is maybe a little bit more prepared and maybe another team isn't quite as prepared. Plus, you're playing a game in Brazil. It's an international game. You've had to travel all the way there. It's opening week. Emotions are extremely high for both teams and energy is high and everyone wants to go out and show out very well, but you're not exactly maybe quite in like week 10 NFL shape yet for all these guys. It takes a little bit of time to work into that. You know, everyone's still learning all of these new offenses and defenses that are being put in. This is not going to be probably the 1A version of football from either Philly or Green Bay. So I think the question is sort of twofold with the coordinators. One, who's ahead? Which coordinators have done a better job in getting their team ready? And the first thing is Matt LaFleur should have a leg up as the offensive play caller and designer on Green Bay's offense. He's the only coordinator. I know he's not the coordinator, but you get the point. He's the only play caller slash play designer here that is returning. The other three, all brand new. And did Jeff Hafley do a better job of getting his new defense up to speed? Or did Fangio? Or did Kellen Moore? I think those are going to go a long way. And then the other thing is how much unscouted looks are we getting from all of these new offenses and defenses that are going to be in this game? You could argue that it's a benefit because none of these groups are probably going to be masters of their craft in this new system yet, but you also are going to see a lot more unscouted looks. You don't have any tape of what this Eagles offense really looks like with Kellen Moore. You don't have any tape of what this Eagles defense looks like with Vic Fangio. You don't have any tape of what this Packers defense looks like with Jeff Hafley. So I think that is a very interesting dynamic in this game and just which of those groups are maybe more ahead than the other. Some other things that I'm going to be watching very early in this game. This is one that I watch pretty much every single game, but going to be keeping an extra eye on the line of scrimmage. And just to kind of go along with that, who can establish the run first? You know, the Eagles are going to try to get Saquon Barkley going. The Packers are going to try to get Josh Jacobs going. And the team that is more dominant up front and can get that going sooner is going to be at a huge advantage. If we get in this game and we see that Green Bay's offensive line is getting pushed backwards by Jalen Carter and Josh Sweat and Bryce Huff and company, all right, well, that's probably going to be a problem. And vice versa, if this Eagles offensive line can't contain Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, Devontae Wyatt, that's going to be a problem for them. But if the Eagles offensive line is getting good movement on that Packers defensive line and they're not holding up and not getting penetration, advantage Eagles. And vice versa, if Josh Jacobs is running all over the place and Jordan Love has time to throw, advantage Green Bay. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on the trenches very early. And again, which team can establish the run first? I'm really going to be watching these Eagles corner matchups against the Packers wide receivers. And I guarantee you, Matt LaFleur will be as well. He's going to watch early. He's going to probably see, my guess is first, I don't know, 7.5 minutes of this game, my guess is you see Christian Watson lined up all over the place, Romeo Doubs lined up all over the place, Wicks lined up all over the place. Probably see a lot of Reed in the slot, but he might even get some snaps elsewhere just to see what corners are matched up with what wide receivers and what Philly's goal is and what they're going to do to try to take away these wide receivers. Same thing with Kraft and Musgrave and what linebackers and safeties are used on those guys. That first 7 minutes, of course, their offense, Green Bay's offense is going to still go down and try to score and get points, but that's going to be a lot of information gathering for Matt LaFleur. And then as the game goes on, he's going to see what mismatches that he can really exploit in this game. And I think that's going to be something that's really fun to sort of see is if you do get a Quinyon Mitchell in an advantageous matchup for Green Bay with a wide receiver that maybe he's going to struggle to cover in his first game as a rookie, do they exploit that a little bit more? These are the sort of things that Matt is so insanely good at. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on just how does Philly go about trying to match up with this Packers offense, specifically the corners, but I think the safeties and linebackers with the tight ends and running backs are going to be very interesting as well. Next is Jeff Hafley's defensive design. I talked about this on the happy hour on Thursday. Somebody asked me of like what we've learned from Jeff Hafley's defense so far. I said, nothing. It's all vanilla. It's all fake. It's all fool's gold. We don't know anything. This is going to be our first real introduction to Jeff Hafley's defense for better or worse. And I think no matter what, if it looks bad, just know that this is not the final iteration of this defense. It takes time. If it looks great, maybe you just caught Philly on a bad day. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're a great defense either. Like try to temper those expectations a little bit one way or the other and just know that this is going to be a journey. And this is the very first words that are written about Jeff Hafley's defense in Green Bay for what is hopefully going to be a very long story to come. So I don't jump to too many conclusions, but that being said, I'm going to jump to some conclusion. I'm kidding, but I want to see what this defense actually looks like in this first game and get our real first introduction to Jeff Hafley's defense and scheme. I want to know if Jair travels or if he stays, meaning is he just a left corner or is he a left corner that is going to travel wherever Devontae Smith goes? Is he going to travel wherever AJ Brown goes or Jahan Dotson? Like, I don't think it's going to be Jahan Dotson, but you get my point. Is he going to travel a bit or is he just stationary at one spot? Same thing with Eric Stokes. And I really want to see how they deploy these corners and if there is a little bit more flexibility and adaptability or is it pretty stringent still and Jair's just going to be left corner? Want to see if Green Bay can get some mismatches with those linebackers. No Devin White. I want to see what Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean can do. Can Green Bay take advantage of that? And then from an other side of things, from Philly's side of things, can they get Green Bay out of their one safety looks? Meaning, I think we're going to see a lot of single high safety, or at least pretend to be in single high safety, and you're going to have that extra safety in the box. Philly's going to want to run with Saquon Barkley. So they're going to do everything that they can, maybe taking some shots early down the field. Can they get Green Bay out of that single look, single high safety look, and get that extra safety or defensive back out of the box and back further in the post, or having to maybe play two over the top because they're just beating you too much deep? So I think that's going to be one of the other ones as well that I just want to see. Can Green Bay keep Xavier McKinney or Javon Bullard in the box to help with Saquon Barkley? And if not, does Barkley just go off then? Is there just not enough numbers to stop and contain Saquon Barkley? All those things are what I'm going to be watching early in this game. Some key matchups as the course of the game goes on. I think this is a massive, massive game for both Eric Stokes and Keyshawn Nixon. This is like, welcome to playing man defense in this game against some of the better man cover or man beating wide receivers in the entire league, specifically in Devontae Smith and then with A.J. Brown as well. Jahan Dotson, not too shabby either. Like, that is a really good matchup for Philly. I'm interested to see again what Jair does. Does I actually kind of like Jair on Devontae Smith, and I kind of like Eric Stokes on A.J. Brown with maybe a little extra, you know, safety spying, or, you know, maybe a robber, or maybe just a little bit of extra vision on A.J. Brown with Eric Stokes in coverage. And then I think you get Keyshawn Nixon on Jahan Dotson. But of course, Philly's going to try to mix that up and make it not easy for Green Bay just to sort of set it that way. But either way, I'm interested to see again how Green Bay aligns those corners. And then do Stokes and Nixon hold up? If you're going to go third and 13 man coverage, those guys are going to have to hold up against some really, really good wide receivers. That is going to be a massive, massive key in this game. In fact, I don't know that there's anything bigger than Stokes and Keyshawn Nixon for this game, sincerely. Those wide receivers are dynamic for Philly. That's going to be a tough day at the office. They're going to give up some plays, but if they can be good, they don't have to be great, but if they can be good, that gives Green Bay a really good chance to win this game. Hey friends, how would you like to support the podcast and have a chance to earn $500? Well, you can go to bluewirepods.com/survey and complete the Blue Wire audience survey about you and your podcast listening habits for a chance to win a $500 gift card. This survey will help create a better advertising experience for you and audiences, and in turn, help this show. That's bluewirepods.com/survey, where all you have to do is answer some simple questions for a chance to win $500. Make sure to read the full terms and disclaimer, plus complete the survey for a chance to win. That's bluewirepods.com/survey. The link is also in the show notes of this episode. We appreciate it a ton. Josh Myers and whoever ends up being the right guard, again, I think it's Sean Ryan, maybe a little bit of Jordan Morgan, but those two against Jalen Carter. I would love to watch some Jalen Carter versus Elgton Jenkins, but if I'm Philly, I'm going to get Jalen Carter versus Josh Myers, and I'm going to get Jalen Carter versus Jordan Morgan or Sean Ryan, who's ever in at right guard. And that's the mismatch that I want to try to exploit if I'm Philly. So how Josh Myers and who's ever at right guard holds up against, I think, one of the best young up-and-coming defensive tackles in the game, that will go a long way in this one. And then lastly, on the other side of the ball, Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt versus Mekhi Becton and Cam Jurgens. Those are the potential weak spots on that Eagles offensive line. Landon Dickerson's not going to give up a ton. Jordan Mailata is one of the best left tackles in football. Lane Johnson's one of the best right tackles in football. You're going to have your interior guys win, and specifically against Jurgens and Becton. Those are your matchups you have to take advantage of. And I do think Green Bay can. I think Clark can beat Jurgens. I think Wyatt can beat Becton. And I think that's going to be, again, one of the real key matchups to watch in this game. And if Green Bay can be successful on the interior, that is going to make things extremely difficult for Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and the rest of that Eagles offense. Some other key players in this one, Quay Walker, I think he's going to have a massive day. He's going to have to be cognizant of where Jalen Hurts is at all times in the passing game, making sure he doesn't get out and scramble. We saw that with Lamar Jackson a little bit on Thursday night, Patrick Mahomes a little bit when he got out of the pocket. That's when those big plays can happen. So Quay Walker, keeping an extra eye on the quarterback, maybe doing some QB spying and just reacting very quickly to that. I think that's going to be a key, but also how he plays against Saquon Barkley in this running game. I think it's a massive game for Quay Walker. Braden Narveson, would it shock you if this came down to a field goal? I mean, it would be almost fitting. Green Bay down by one or down by two, 44-yard field goal with 3 seconds left on the clock, and it all comes down to Braden Narveson. I don't know if it's going to be that, but I can guarantee you Braden Narveson probably plays a role in this game in some capacity. How well can he do? Can he live up to the hype? We will see, but that's definitely another key player in this one. And then lastly, Rashawn Walker. I went with Rashawn Gary and Rashid Walker and try to combine them into one person, which would be a pretty scary individual. But Rashawn Gary, to me, if Gary wants to make that jump, right, to dominant tier one defensive end, and let me just be very clear here. In order for Rashawn Gary to be an awesome, great Green Bay Packer, it doesn't necessarily mean he has to get to tier one defensive end. He doesn't necessarily have to be TJ Watt or Max Crosby or, you know, what Aiden Hutchinson or one of these just dynamic, unbelievable defensive ends. He is unbelievably valuable to this team and a great defensive end, top 10, in my opinion, no matter what. But if he does want to be considered one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, you can't just do it against scrubs. You got to do it against the Jordan Mailatas and the Lane Johnsons of the world. It's a really tough matchup for any defensive end against those two offensive tackles. They are fantastic. But if you're Rashawn Gary and you want to be the best, or at least in that conversation, this is the game. Go out and show out against two of the best offensive tackles in football and show that you can be that impact, dominant defensive end, no matter who is across from you, game in and game out. So I think this is a big game for Rashawn Gary as well. And I'll just add on top of that, Rashawn has had a propensity to get too far upfield, create that lane for the quarterback to step up into, to either throw the ball downfield or get yards with his legs. Rashawn has got to be far more disciplined in this one than he has been with mobile quarterbacks in the past. Some game planning on offense. If I'm Green Bay, I want to get those linebackers moving. I talked about this a little bit the other day, but I might start out with some reverses and some jet sweeps, and I want to get those linebackers going horizontally and really stretching the width of the field. Then I kind of want to come back, and once those guys are maybe spread out a little bit more, I want to hit them inside with Josh Jacobs. And then once they start coming up for Josh Jacobs, now I'm going to go play action and try to get over the top to maybe a Tucker Kraft or a Luke Musgrave. Of course, it's not as easy as that may seem, but that's kind of like a general of like, can you get them going horizontally, then up at the line of scrimmage, then vertically? I just think that way you kind of just keep them off kilter and not really ever knowing what to expect or what's going to come next. And that's a great place to be in when you're going against two linebackers like Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean, where I think there are some vulnerabilities there for the Eagles defense. And then if you're Jeff Hafley, my goal, I want to get Jalen Hurts to have to make quick decisions. And what I mean by that is I don't want him to get comfortable. I don't want him dancing around. I want him in a new offense that he probably has not mastered yet to have to really be thinking on the fly. If I can get pressure, does he make a mistake thinking a receiver is going to be one spot, but they're not, and it ends up being an easy interception? Can you create chaos and havoc for Jalen Hurts and make it so that he is so uncomfortable and that he maybe just doesn't have this offense on full lock yet, which would be understandable, but that's what I want. I want to see him uncomfortable and just not knowing exactly where to go with the ball. And I think Jeff Hafley has that in his wheelhouse, but now can you execute it game one in a neutral stadium against a very good quarterback and a very, very talented offense? My prediction for the game, I'm going Packers 23, Eagles 20, a 3-point victory for your Green Bay Packers. And I'll end by saying this. Everything that I just said, it's fun talking about this, right? And I know a lot of you guys are here because we love nerding out about who's going to be the final, inactive, who's going to be the practice squad call up, some of the key matchups to watch. Now's the time. Throw all of it out the window. It's been great talking about it. We've had months to dig into every tiny piece of minutia that we've been able to get our hands on. And now it is time to watch football. Watch it. Enjoy the hell out of it. We will dissect the hell out of it as soon as it is done, good, bad, or ugly, or amazing, whatever spectrum it lies on. I'll be back with you guys. I'm going to do a pregame show before the game, 6 p.m. Central Time, bringing you right up to 7 p.m., 15 minutes before kickoff. And then as soon as the game is done, my hope is to do maybe a 30 to 45 minute live postgame show right on YouTube as well. And then, of course, I will do an episode for the next morning. And we will be off watching tape on Saturday. And then Sunday, we'll kind of go over some of the key takeaways from the film review. And like I said, we will dissect everything then. But for now, enjoy the hell out of the game. We deserve it. We've waited forever for it. And now we get it. Packers, Eagles, Friday Night Football. Enjoy it, everyone. It is going to be amazing, and I cannot wait to talk to you before the game, of course, but especially after the game, so we can finally get a real first taste of the 2024 Green Bay Packers. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brendan Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, Dave McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Ritaka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, Dan Guestford, Love and Football, Jay Zimmerman, and B. Brown. I will see you guys tomorrow pregame, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.